The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show featuring Gogo the Chimp. Nothing like a chimp to liven up the radio show. Easy there. Go. No, Gogo, no!
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 9th. Chris, do you know what today is? You're supposed to say Tuesday, April 9th.
Yeah. I was going to say the day after the eclipse, but...
No, the eclipse was canceled. You didn't hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look up in the sky. There's no eclipse.
Yeah, I think Netflix is requiring the moon and the sun to get different passwords now, so they canceled it.
That was clever, Chris.
Yeah,
that
welcome.
Was brilliantly clever,
yeah.
Almost freakishly clever.
Yeah.
Yesterday was April 8th, which makes today, I believe, this is just doing the math in my head, April 9th.
Yes.
Which is the anniversary of the execution of my hero and the hero of millions, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I wrote about him in the longest book I ever wrote called Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. And I can recommend that book because people come up to me to this day saying that's their favorite book of all time, apart from the Bible. And I'm glad that they always say apart from the Bible because I assume that it's apart from the Bible, but they feel like they have to say that. But look, his story is that magnificent. It has nothing to do with my book, or mostly nothing to do with my book. It has to do with his story. His story is a very beautiful, inspiring story. I was privileged to tell the story in the book, Bonhoeffer. But every April 9th, I just think about the fact that it was today that it happened at dawn. And I mean, it's interesting because when I wrote the Bonhoeffer book, oh, by the way, I want to say, coming up on this show, hour one, Sebastian Gorka, or Seb Gorka, as he is often called, because Americans have trouble with the name Sebastian. Seb Gorka, and as if Seb is easier than Sebastian. I think Sebastian's easier. But people confuse him with Sebastian Cabot, who also had a Van Dyke beard.
I don't know who that is.
Sebastian Cabot, he played Mr. French in Family Affair with Jody and Buffy.
Yeah, my brain didn't exist back then. I think that's
no. You were not yet born, but I was. I'm a little older than you are, and I think that Sebastian Cabot, who played Mr. French, that's the only other Sebastian that I know other than Sebastian Gorka. But Sebastian Gorka is my guest in hour one and hour two. I'm pretty sure we have Peachy Keenan, who is so great. Oh my gosh, they're both great. What an amazing 2 hours today. But I want to say, to get back to Bonhoeffer, when I wrote the Bonhoeffer book, I certainly did not expect it to do well. I'm not making that up. I mean, if you know me, I wanted to write it and kind of move on. And I thought it was an important story. I never, ever, ever dreamt that it would explode, that it would sell a million copies, that it would be translated to 20 languages. And until I supported Trump, I would be celebrated by the evangelical church across the world. What's interesting to me is, and one of the reasons I know God chose me to write that book is because it is more relevant today than when I wrote it. And so my new book, which is called Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil. Oh, look, I have a copy right here. In this book, I talk a lot about Bonhoeffer because he's the one that came up with the unwieldy phrase religionless Christianity to describe – maybe now's a good time for me to explain what it is.
Yeah. When does it come out, by the way?
Like next week? I don't know. April 23rd officially.
Okay.
Officially April 23rd. But you can pre-order it now, and there may be some copies available before that. But – Yesterday, I signed like 1,000 copies.
And your hands are still
at New Life Christian stores. If you want to get copies, you can go to SocratesInTheCity.com. You can get signed copies at SocratesInTheCity.com. But I feel like the first thing I have to explain about this book, and I'll spend the weeks ahead talking about it one way or the other, there's a lot about Bonhoeffer in this book, because Bonhoeffer, to me, points the way forward in terms of what do we do now. Because we're in a very similar – the case I make in Letter to the American Church, in the film, in the documentary film, and of course in the book, Letter to the American Church, is that the parallels to where the German church was in the early 30s to where the American church is today are stunning, staggering, horrifying. In this book, Religionless Christianity, I kind of talk about what do we do about it, I guess, and how do we – well, I'm sorry. Let me say, just in the few minutes we have before we go to our guest, Sebastian Gorka or P.G. Keenan, let me say that the title Religionless Christianity comes from a letter that Bonhoeffer wrote in the last year of his life. He was in the Gestapo prison, horrible, and he wrote a letter to his best friend, Eberhard Baitke. Now, I write about this in the book, but he wrote to his friend, and he's kind of thinking, how did all of this happen? How did we lose the battle? Why did the church fall? Why did the church fail to stand? What happened? And he says, if only we had had a religionless Christianity. And what he means by that, he's using the word religion as a pejorative, like this dead religiosity. We had all this church stuff. We're all playing church, but we didn't have actual Christianity, like robust, active Christian faith, willing to die for what you believe in. And he was saying if we had had a religionless Christianity, we would not have succumbed to the evil of the Nazis. But we didn't. And the reason I wrote the book is because I think we need to go back and try to understand what was Bonhoeffer saying. What did he mean by that? Now, if you look at everything that he wrote up until then, he understood this concept when he was in his early 20s. In fact, I talk about how when he was an assistant pastor in Barcelona, Spain for a year. He was teaching at a German-speaking congregation, and he gave three lectures to the high schoolers kind of on this subject, or at least one of the lectures was exactly on this subject, many years before he came up with the term religionless Christianity. But he's talking about what happens when we're just playing church. In other words, what happens when we're going through the motions, the religious motions, but we're not actually living out our faith. That's when you have dead religion. It's not actual Christianity. And so God's answer to evil is religionless Christianity. And in the book, I talk about what are some religious idols that that people, whether, you know, the Pharisees in the time of Jesus, or pastors in the time of Bonhoeffer in Germany, or pastors today or Christians today, what are some of the religious idols that we might worship without realizing it that would lead us into this kind of dead, useless, you know, pseudo-Christianity, which is actually religion. So that's kind of what the book is about. I say that – I think it's on the back of the book. I say that – actually, I can read this. I have a minute. I'll read this. This is the introduction to this book. I say, in America, we're experiencing our third and likely our final existential crisis. The first was our revolution, when the threat was from without. The second was our civil war, when the threat was from within. But now we face a third trial whereby evil forces aim to steal our freedoms and national sovereignty via a globalist world system dedicatedly at war with the God from whom we derive our principles of liberty and justice for all, as well as with the principles themselves. And the threat to us now is from both within and without. This book is a sequel to my previous book, Letter to the American Church, which draws the unavoidably chilling parallels between the German Christian silence and inaction in the 1930s and the silence and inaction of American Christians in our own time. Both are the result of a drift away from the biblical idea of a muscular faith that expresses itself in all spheres of life and toward a dead and religious faith that is merely theological and ecclesiastical. Dietrich Bonhoeffer sought to awaken the church of his day to action, but as we know, they did not heed God's voice through him and invited the judgment they couldn't have dreamt would come. So I'm excited a couple days ago I got home and I saw a box and I opened it up, and it's always an exciting thing. This is my 15th book, I guess, or 16th or 17th, something like that. But it's an exciting thing to launch a book out there. There's some wacky stuff in here, and I don't mean like wacky in the pejorative sense. I mean like some there's some heavy stuff in here. You've not read it, but Tiffany, your wife,
she said it. She said it's pretty good. I think we're going to have to make a film on it. I hate to tell you, but
you
we might
to,
have
you
to
hate
do
to tell me we might
we
have,
to make another film, a sequel.
Well, I'm open to it.
We're gonna have Vin Diesel play you in the sequel.
All right,
you
know? Yeah, because I'm so
Fast
busy.
And Furious.
I'm so busy, and he can do his own stunts.
Letter to the American
Not
Church.
Like last time. I got two. Messed up. I got my arms messed up. Okay, so today talking to Sebastian Gorka and Peachy Keenan. Don't go away.
For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
You sheltered me from harm, kept me warm.
Folks, welcome back. As promised, our friend and Salem colleague, Sebastian Gorka. Welcome back, Sebastian.
It's always great to see you, my friend.
You are an encouraging voice in the culture. Every time I hear you, and I hear you often, you really you're encouraging us to be courageous, and I just appreciate that. And I want to talk to you about anything that's on your mind. You mentioned, well, first of all, was it yesterday, which was Monday, so today's Tuesday, was the 6 month anniversary of.
It was Sunday. Sunday was the anniversary. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, the 7th, October 7th. Right. What do you make, Sebastian? Because I have to say, I always feel like maybe I'm missing something. There's some people who seem to think that Israel, they should pull back somehow. You hear that, and I think, well, if that's the way for Israel to win, if that's the way for Israel to make sure this never happens again, then I would say yes, they should do that. I'm not sure why. Because there's some people who are pro-Israel who say that, and I always think maybe I'm missing something. What's your perception of where they are now? I mean, look, the fact that Hamas still has the hostages,
yeah,
this to me is that's the end of the discussion, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know.
Well, not only that, the fact that we have Americans amongst the hostages, and if can you imagine what the situation would be like? How different it would be if my former boss, President Trump, was still in the White House and American hostages had been kept for 6 months in heinous conditions. I mean, I'm always amused. I always, chuckle when people say, with regards, because my background is national security, what would President Trump do right now with regards to Ukraine or the Middle East if he was still in the White House? And I literally laugh at the people who ask him, because I say, what do you mean, what would he do? It would have happened. For 4 years, can we just go back? The man who they said is the warmonger, he's going to start World War III. For 4 years, Eric, we had peace, no new wars. ISIS, the caliphate that we'd been told by Obama is, quote, a generational problem we just have to get used to. We crushed it. We got the lawyers out of the way. We unleashed JSOC and Delta Force, and the caliphate within a span of 4 months ceased to be like a certain parrot in a certain Monty Python skit. So the fact that we have no American leadership and that institutionalized anti-Semitism has a home inside the Democrat Party, these should horrify people. The fact that secular Jews almost exclusively vote for the Democrat Party, and then 95% of Orthodox Jews vote for President Trump, that tells you the dividing line in America. And think about, I had the president on my show 2 weeks ago for an hour, and one sentence made the news internationally. The Daily Mail, everywhere, talked about it. Politico, Washington Post, New York Times. President Trump was accused of being an anti-Semite in my interview. Why? Because he said the following words. He said, if you're an American Jew and you vote for the Democrat Party, you must hate Israel. And he was accused of the dual loyalty canard, which is weird because he's actually saying the opposite. He's saying not that you're loyal to Israel as well as America. He's saying if you vote for the Democrats, you know, that have Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, AOC amongst them, you really hate yourself and you hate Israel as well. And he's absolutely right. Think about this. Chuck Schumer, the most senior Democrat in the Senate, says, you know, Israel, you better get rid of that Bibi guy. The duly elected prime minister is being attacked by the most senior Democrat in the Senate. I mean, what has the world come to? Let me be clear. There is no ceasefire until the problem is dealt with, because this is the greatest loss of life since the Shoah, since the Holocaust. And the sad thing is, it's not going to be easy to solve. Why? This is where so many people don't get it. 70 to 78% of Gazans support what happened on October 7th. Support children being murdered.
Wait a minute. Give us that statistic again, because people need to hear this. People cry about Gaza. Okay.
Right.
We don't want innocents to suffer. But you said how many support this?
Between 70 and 78% of Gazans approve of what Hamas did on October the 7th, which means there is no military solution to this. And the fact that Egypt, not exactly, you know, a Zionist nation, has built a wall between Gaza and Egypt tells you the enormity of the problem. This is Israel facing down those who wish to exterminate them. And the fact that we have Democrats on the streets of New York, we have Democrats outside the White House chanting from the river to the sea, which is a genocidal chant. The fact that the former president of Harvard, who, by the way, this is the pathetic thing of it, Eric, she stepped down. Why? Because of plagiarism. Not because she said in a congressional testimony, she said, well, a genocidal chant against the Jews, that's a contextual thing. That's the president of Harvard. If you want to see institutionalized anti-Semitism, it is alive and well, and it lives inside the Democrat Party.
It's a staggering thing. I mean, look, anytime somebody like Chuck Schumer says anything, I'm for the opposite automatically. I cannot imagine ever agreeing with Chuck Schumer. So when he calls for Bibi Netanyahu to step down, now why would he say that? I'm just curious. Where do you think he's going with that?
I can tell you why. Because 100,000 Democrat voters in Michigan in the primaries voted what? They voted uncommitted. I mean, the Democrat Party is hemorrhaging support from Muslim Americans who say, how dare you stand with our closest ally in the Middle East? How dare you support the only representative democracy in the whole region? So, you know, the fact that hundreds of, to date, if you add it up, it's probably 500,000 registered Democrats in the primaries have ticked the box other. They're not voting for RFK or Cornel West. They're not voting for Biden. That's a problem. They've got to placate the anti-Semites. Remember, I mean, this is the party of Ilhan Omar, who said, oh, for the Jews, politics is all about the Benjamins, right? These are the Democrat representatives who have tweeted out that Israel has hypnotized the West. But this is stuff they actually say publicly. AOC is a proud BDS supporter. The boycott, divest, sanction movement is the modern face of anti-Semitism, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is an avowed BDS supporter. This is the stark reality. It's people who, and I'm not going to even use the word anti-Semitic, because a former colleague of mine from the Trump administration, who was our envoy to fight anti-Semitism, he said, stop calling it anti-Semitism. That's politically correct. That is an antiseptic term invented by the left. This is Jew hatred, Eric. This is simple Jew hatred.
Yeah, there's a difference. It's funny, when you mentioned that President Trump was on your program and he said what he said, I was actually invited. Eric Bolling had me on Newsmax to talk about that. And I was just laughing at the idea that all kinds of people were triggered by Trump saying that. Because, look, it's a fact. I live in a building in Manhattan with mostly Orthodox Jews who all love Trump. And most secular Jews hate Trump. And it's fascinating to me that is the case, that you have secular Jews voting for the Democrats against their own interests, against the interests of Israel. It's a bizarre thing. This brings us to the what you refer to as, you call it a new taxonomy. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so this case, so I'm in my, what is it, sixth year of doing radio with Salem, and a couple of years in, it kind of came, my first degree was philosophy and theology, so I try to get terms defined first, because if you don't define terms, you can't analyze or fix anything. And it came to me that the labels that we were so congenitally prone to use, because it's just happened, you know, it's our tradition, are totally without any merit. I mean, the words we use do not reflect reality. Wittgenstein said a word only has functional merit if it actually connects to a real thing. Well, the word Republican and the word Democrat have no meaning anymore. They don't tell you anything about those groups, nor does conservative or liberal. Let's talk about conservative for a second. What is the etymological root of the word conservative? To conserve. Well, we can't conserve the traditions we believe in if they have been roundly dismantled by postmodern secular relativism. There's nothing to preserve, so conservative. Sorry?
Actually, no, forgive me. We're going to a break, folks. I'm talking to Sebastian Gorka, so you're not going anywhere.
Make like the Mr. Big, they dig a hero. You've got to sound your A the day.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's N-U-T-R-A Nutramedix.com, Nutramedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedix, Nutramedix.com, Nutramedix.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
You might have heard Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. Yes, it's because of cancel culture, but as a result, they get to pass the savings on to you directly by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. There's six-pack towels, just $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. The amazing offer will not last long. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code ERIC, or call 800-978-3057. That's promo code ERIC, 800-978-3057, promo code ERIC, or go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC. Welcome back. Talking to Sebastian Gorka. And you just said, Sebastian, you're really talking about critical theory and undermining meaning, right? When you basically, it's like sucking the innards out of an egg, making a weasel word. Words that mean nothing. And this is what the left has done. They invent words. They create words that have no meaning. It's intended to confuse.
All right. It's worse than that. That was the first stage. So James Lindsay, he wrote the book on critical race theory. It's a critical theory. It's called Cynical Theories. And there's about a page in there, half a page, where he summarizes queer theory. And when I read the book, this is like 3 years ago, I said, James, forget the rest of it. This story, this two paragraphs, is the heart of the matter. Because he quotes professors from the left who are experts in queer theory. And I can't use the language these professors use because it's F this, F that. And they said, the point of queer theory is to make sure that we mess with the minds of everyone in society.
Right. We F with the minds.
They F with the minds, so nobody knows. The concept of truth can't even be approached because nobody knows that there is no nexus. There's no pole that's guiding us. And with regards to the taxonomy question, I realized that this little R or this little D behind the names of political actors are irrelevant. Words like conservative, liberal, left and right don't mean anything anymore. The only liminal divide, the only thing that separates Americans from each other today is one question. Do you love America or do you hate it? If you understand that, everything else falls into place. Because this is not hyperbolic, but answer this question. You look at the last 3.5 years of Biden, what would you do differently if your express purpose were to destroy America? Eric, what would you do differently? You've opened the border. You've made us energy dependent on Venezuela. You've kowtowed to Russia and to China. What would you do differently, Eric?
This is something that this is the question that I have been asking for more than 2 years. It looks very much like this administration is trying to destroy America. I don't know. Now you have to get into why that would be and how that. But the point is, anybody looking at what they're doing has to conclude they are the enemies of America. The enemies of America stole the election and are doing everything they can. They know the time is short. They know they don't have a lot of time, and they have doubled down on doing absolutely everything they can to destroy this nation. I cannot conclude anything else. I wish I were wrong.
It's not your opinion. It's what they say. It starts with Obama. Listen, when he says, I am going to fundamentally change America, you cannot love that which you wish to fundamentally change. If I told my wife, Katie, I love you, Katie, but I wish to fundamentally change you. I want a brunette who's, you know, 5'6". I don't want a blonde who's 5'10". I wouldn't be on the couch, Eric. I'd be in the doghouse, okay? They, this is the perverse, this is the truly perverse age we live in. I've never seen this before as an amateur historian and a fan of classics. I've never seen an age where the elite hates the society over which they have control. I mean, they truly detest it. When you know, Judeo-Christian as an adjective is pejorative, when you have to dismantle what a man is, what a woman is, when you have, you know, 4,000-word articles in the Atlantic celebrating the browning of America, but if a conservative says there's a replacement strategy going on here, you're the conspiracy theorist, but the Atlantic can have, you know, a column inches celebrating it, you realize that, look, who was it? It was Pascal who said, if you deny the existence of God, well, tough, because you're going to create a God-shaped hole in the soul of human beings. You've got to fill it with something. That God-shaped hole is environmentalism, it's wokeism, it's CRT, and it begins with what? Self-hatred. This interesting story was relayed to me by one of the smartest people I know, the investigative journalist Rich Miniter. And shortly before Andrew Breitbart died, they were friends. Andrew wanted to send some of his Breitbart journalists to the Occupy Wall Street camp. You know, the Occupy Wall Street, you know, with the rape tents and everything else.
Yeah.
And Rich said to Andrew, hey, have your journalists ask one question from every Occupy Wall Street woke loony. And that question is, tell me about your relationship with your father. And you know what the answer would have been, right?
Yep.
They hate their father, and now they have to project that sense of hatred and failure onto everything else that's normal, and they have to dismantle it. That's why we are where we are today. It's love of country and love of Judeo-Christian civilization, vice everybody who wants to destroy it.
There's no doubt about it, and it has to be said, at the heart of it all is something unavoidably diabolical. It is a hatred of God.
Yes.
It is a nihilistic, satanic hatred of God. And if you hate God, you hate those who are made in his image, so you hate human beings. If you hate God, you hate the world he created. You hate reality. Reality.
But more than that, you hate everything that is good. Because what is God? God is the good, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just, you know, what he created, goodness itself. Truth must be denied. Why does the left say, remember that moment when then-Senator Kamala Harris says to Blasey Ford during the Kavanaugh hearings about the so-called rapes, I believe in your truth. Excuse me?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we've got a whole – hang on. We're going to be right back. Folks, talking to Sebastian Gorka. And Sebastian, as we go to the break, I believe in your truth. We'll be right back. Welcome back, talking to Sebastian Gorka. Sebastian, we're talking about important things. We're talking about this hatred of all that is good. Now, to hate what is good and true and beautiful is satanic. We see it on the left. We've never seen it as we've seen it in the Biden administration. They seem, I mean, the idea that you'd open our borders, that you would let, look, I guarantee there are millions of decent people who want to come to America coming in. We're not concerned about them. We're concerned about evil actors coming in. We're concerned about some of the most violent human beings on the planet, drug cartels, some of the most vicious monsters and criminals ever taking control of our southern border, flooding our nation with fentanyl. It seems everywhere you turn, there is this satanic project. And not to stand against it with everything you have, as this administration is not standing, it seems to me proof that they want to destroy the nation. It's a staggering thing to see. And there are many conservatives, many Republicans who don't see it. I mean, I don't know. I don't get the impression that Mike Pence sees this. You know, you'd think that they would at least see that. I don't see that they see it. We've got, except for the MAGA crowd, we seem to be playing patty cake with the devil.
Look, your analysis is sound, but for a moment we can ignore the cartel members, the terrorists, the agents of inimical powers. Let's just put that to one side if possible. And look at what does the left say about themselves, right? They are the arch virtue signalers, and they say, we're here for the little guy. We're here for women. We're here for minorities. Who is hurt the most by open borders? You, Eric Metaxas, are not going to lose your job. I, likewise, am not going to lose my job because somebody just, you know, crossed the Rio Grande yesterday. Who's going to lose their jobs? It's Jose, who came legally 10 years ago, went through the process, took the exam, paid his money, and he's bussing tables in, you know, Dallas. And along comes a Nigerian, one of the millions let in, and tells Jose's boss, hey, I'll do his job for 50% cash under the table. So who are you actually screwing? Number one, you're screwing the migrant population that came here legally. You're totally destroyed. They just got up to the bottom rung of the American dream, and you just ripped the ladder away from them. And then secondly, and this is when you realize it is not hyperbolic, this is the work of the devil. They are on the side of the dark one. Left-wing organizations like Human Rights Watch, like United Nations HCR, say what? Between 50 and 60% of the girls and women trafficked are raped. I went down to the border. I saw the packets of strewn abortion pills all over the desert there. Why? Because the little 12-year-old girls were taking abortion pills because they were being raped. So the party, and Alejandro Mayorkas, you know, the Secretary of Homeland Security, isn't some guy who was sitting in an ivory tower in Yale writing articles for, you know, the Review. He was one of the most senior officials in DHS under Obama. So he knows that when he comes back in, opens the spigot, he knows that of the 10,000 illegals coming every day, more than 50% of the women and girls are being raped. That is when you know that there is one political party in America called the Democrat Party, and it is in league with Satan.
I you know, there was a time when I would disagree. We've long passed that time. It is amazing to me, because you and I know how many wicked human beings are in the Republican Party who are just rhino scum, yeah, who couldn't care less about anything, but maybe they're not even wise enough to know that they hate America. But generally speaking, what I say in many of my speeches is that the Democratic Party, the face of the Democratic Party, is no longer Tip O'Neill. It's no longer it's no longer Jimmy Carter or Richard Gephardt. Or, I mean, there are people who don't seem to understand that over time, the Democratic Party has moved and moved and moved to a point where they are fundamentally, unavoidably anti-America. They are, and you know, that goes along with what you're saying, to not care that people are being raped. I mean, it just boggles my imagination that they don't care about that. It almost doesn't make sense. What have they given themselves over to? It's satanic.
Again, don't listen to me and Eric. Watch for yourself. That glimpse behind, it wasn't even behind the curtain. It was, you know, on the front of the proscenium arch. The day of the Super Tuesday evening, as President Trump is traveling, just massive returns. And you have Jen Psaki, Rachel Maddow, and the homophobe bigot Joy Reid looking at the results. And Psaki lives in Virginia, and she says, I don't get it. The exit polls say that all these people voting for Trump, their number one concern is illegal immigration. And she laughs, and Maddow laughs, and Joy Reid cackles like three Marie Antoinettes. And then Jen Psaki says, I live in Virginia. I don't understand why they care. And then Rachel Maddow says, well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. The utter contempt, the disdain for what real Americans feel, this is what the Democrat Party has become. And they don't hide it. They laugh about the concerns of the American people. You know, Laken Riley is a joke to them, Eric.
Yeah, this is where we are. And I think a lot of what has to happen, Sebastian, and I make this effort wherever I go and all the speeches I give, is to help people understand this is where we are now. I understand that it's difficult to process, but you need to process it. You need to understand where we are now. And if you are not in the fight against it, you are part of the problem. If you're sitting on the sidelines now and you're ignoring these things, you are allowing the rapes to happen, the fentanyl deaths to happen.
I just got back from California in front of 900 of our listeners, and I always say something worse. I say, if you're not actively engaged politically, you're actually working for the Democrats.
That's exactly what I said. Yeah, that's exactly correct. And listen, there are many people. I mean, I still can't get over it that we had Mike Pence refuse to endorse Donald Trump. Now we're not in the primaries anymore. Donald Trump is going to be the nominee, and you have someone, Mike Pence, who was his vice president, refuse to endorse him. Which, what does that do? That sends the signal to innumerable conservatives, quote unquote, listen, don't vote for Trump. I won't even endorse him against all of the evil we're talking about. We'll be right back talking to Sebastian Gorka. Welcome back. Talking to Sebastian Gorka. Sebastian, I've been talking about this more and more. I have a new book coming out called Religionless Christianity, God's Answer to Evil, where I basically say that even if you're not some kind of a person of great faith, you look around at what's happening in America and you realize, no, we're not dealing with differences of opinion. It seems evil. It seems like what's happening has no explanation. To declare Resurrection Sunday as the trans day of visibility seems satanic. It seems calculated to show the middle finger to every Christian in America. The idea that the Democrat Party has come to this point has to be acknowledged. It has to be faced and it has to be fought. This is no longer the party of Tip O'Neill.
Yeah. It is essential that all of your viewers and listeners understand that this isn't Obama, this isn't Biden. This is a 90-year project. I know you're going to talk to her soon, but Katie and her former Heritage colleague have just published Next Gen Marxism, which is the explication of how, you know, from Antonio Gramsci to Saul Alinsky to Obama to AOC, this has been 90 years of a revolution inside the institutions of our state. I just want to make a case in front of the judge. If you think we're being extreme here, then watch the testimony of Chloe Coles in front of Congress, a 15-year-old girl who was convinced by doctors that she would only be happy if her healthy breasts were removed, if she was pumped full of testosterone and she pretended, she play-acted to be a boy. Chloe has now detransitioned. I don't know if she's going to be able to have children or whether they sterilized her successfully. But when you have people who have taken the Hippocratic Oath and are literally with a scalpel and chemicals mutilating young children so that they, and I'm going to say this, can't for the rest of their lives have sexual pleasure and B, will never bear children. You know who did that? Mengele did that. The angel of death did that in Hitler's death camps. Now, Boston's Children's Hospital is doing it. Look it up. Don't take my word for it. It's happening in America. Then, at that point, there is no question. The Lord of Darkness is walking through America's body politic, through our hospitals and through our schools. But pedophilic pornography that you can't read at the school board meetings is on the bookshelves of the 10-year-olds at school. I'm sorry, case closed.
We have a minute left, and people who've watched the film Letter to the American Church, Chloe is in that. We talk about a number of things you've been touching on. This is evil, folks. This is evil, and we need to be in the fight against it. But in the less than a minute we have left, it seems to me that the Democrats know that Biden can't win in a fair fight. I'm guessing that they're going to swap him out for someone at the convention. What are your thoughts on that?
I really thought that would be the case, because I couldn't believe that this would actually occur, that this senile old man was going to be their candidate. I've changed my mind. They can't parachute Gavin in. They can't parachute Mayor Buttigieg in, because then, you know, what happens to Kamala being skipped over? And then secondly, the State of the Union, whatever chemicals they pumped him up with, he functioned. He ranted, but he functioned. And thank the good Lord, the State of the Union has now locked in Joe Biden, which is fabulous for President Trump.
You think so? You don't think that they have any way to do that?
No.
So then,
the blowback from not allowing Kamala to be the president would be...
Well, they'll find some clever way around it. Listen, I hope Biden is the candidate. Sebastian, just a joy always to speak with you. Thank you, my friend.
God bless. Check out my Substack for more. That's sebastiangorka.substack.com.
Thank you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.